would like to explain a little more about the realization here Dogen Zenji uses very often. practice and realization. I don't know how do you understand realization is. I think this is my problem, how to translate this term in English. Why English always uses realization, but I don't know how you understand this one. But according to Dogen, he uses three kind of satori enlightenment. The one is awareness, kaku, awakening. Second is satori, usually enlightenment. Third is sho. I don't know what this is. Literally, it means verification, verification, or proof. Proof. Literally. Okay. So three kinds of terms are used by the Dogens often, but in this case, practice and realization is the third one. Realization is corresponding to the third one. Proof or verification, literally translation. But I am still looking for the appropriate term in English, but I don't know what kind of English is best. So I have to explain a little bit about this one. This enlightenment of the sho, in Japanese sho, okay. Sho, the plainly speaking, literally the proof or certificate, certification, this is also proof, sho, certificate or to prove or to verify, or to wit, to witness. Okay. Show in Chinese, maybe Morton knows, he knows pretty well. anyway, show. The first one, second one, kaku or satori, both are something experienced, something what you can experience through the six senses. Okay. So awakening or satori. But a sho, well, translated as realization, is little more than that which you can experience, or you can awaken. So, little deeper meaning of meaning, rather than kaku, awakening, satori, enlightenment. So I don't know how to translate it, but maybe we can say sho. Translated literally as a verification or the witness means actualizing the consummation of being. Consummation. Okay. Consummation, ultimate nature of being. So consummation of being is, how can I say, is a place where everything synchronizes with each other. Okay. Well, according to Buddhist mentions, I think animate being or inanimate being all are simultaneously enlightened when he attained enlightenment. Okay. Or he mentions the I and the heaven and earth and I as one, the same and one root, where all living beings are attained, all living beings attain enlightenment simultaneously. So that is a consummation of being. Consummation of ultimate nature of being is the same in one place where everything coexists in peace. In Buddhist terminology uses very often nyoze or jisso or nyoze or jisso. Nyoze means thusness. Jisso is also translated thusness, you know, true reality. Jisso is literally true mark means true reality. Nyo is like or thus. Look like. But in Zen Buddhism, nyo means look like, but on the other hand, nyo is direct manifestation of something ultimate. Okay. That is called nyo. So Dogen Zen says in Genjo Koan, birds flies like a bird. Fish swims like fish. Means exactly fish becomes one with the water. And birds activities are completely identical with the function of the air and skies, all sentient beings. At that time, birds are not birds. Birds are sky, we can say. So that is called, Dogen Zen mentions, birds fly like the bird. Because it's pretty hard to say it is bird. Okay? Because it is sky. It is air. Without this situation, birds cannot fly in the sky. So, but bird can fly means to be supported by air and skies and all clouds and all sentient beings. And then, life of bird is supported. That is called to be able to fly for a bird. So what we can live is to be supported, to support our life by many beings. So at that time, Kalagiri lives like Kalagiri. Not exactly Kalagiri. That time, Kalagiri becomes exactly Jijiyo Samadhi anyway, and Buddhas. So that is, he said, Nyo, that is, Chinese letter is called Nyo, of Nyoze. Okay, Nyoze. Nyo is that or look like. But it means exactly pointing out exactly consummation of being. Okay. That is Nyo. Okay. Because it's pretty hard to say. If you're really alive in this world, creating the peace and the harmony, you are you, but you look like you, but you are not you. You are something more than you. But you yourself don't know how can you get that energy from small fire candles? No, you don't know. If you really live,
and piecing them in with all these beings. So very naturally you can feel this one. So it's pretty hard to say about you. It's pretty hard to explain who you are, where you can get such a kind of energy there. So we call it nyo. Nyo. There is this. That nyo, thusness, is something existent right now here. That is called this. So nyote is translated as thusness or suchness sometimes. So nyote is what it just is of itself. So that is the place where all living beings coexist in peace, and synchronizes and with each other in peace and harmony. That is the shore, okay? Realization. So that shore, confirmation, the confirmation of being is not you try to manifest. No, you cannot do it. Because this is exactly ultimate state of existence. You don't know. But a unique way is to let it manifest by virtue of making your water clear or calm, or practically speaking, you really devote yourself to do something thoroughly with a sincere heart, exactly do it, then the consummation of the being comes out, emerges from, it merged from, naturally. That is practice, our practice. So, but we always try to get that truth or consummation of the being, we try to get. That's why we say, by practice, let's get let's attain enlightenment. That is more, that makes you more confused. It's pretty hard to get such enlightenment. Of course you can attain enlightenment, but that enlightenment is first or second enlightenment in our missions, Kaku or Satori. But still, Kaku and Satori are nothing but the human experience limited by individualities. So it's not universal. Universal enlightenment is, anyway, state of being free from individual experience, called kaku, awakening, or satori. According to Buddha's term, it is called nirvana. Nirvana. So nirvana corresponds to show, proof of verification. So nirvana is a place where all kinds of experience of highest spiritual life are melted into, okay? That is called nirvana. In other words, the highest level of spiritual life is liberated, okay? And then it is called nirvana. That is called total liberation. So, so that's why even though you don't experience this show, nirvana, the actualizing the consummation of being, even though you don't experience the ultimate nature of existence, okay? Well, as best as we can, we try to approach, we try to come near to it. In many ways, psychologically, intellectually, in many ways, we try and see even a dim image that as close as you can, you try to approach. That is our study. Okay? Study. And then in order to touch directly the ultimate nature of itself is your responsibility, your business, your responsibility, so-called, what would you say, well, flow of activities. Okay? When you are exactly in the flow of a continuous flow of activities, then you are there. Exactly. The consciousness always slip off this flow of activities and analyze, synthesize. So that's why it's pretty hard to touch directly. So that's if Kanda Zengi, we chant what the Dogen Zenji mentions, let me see, Kanda Zengi, mentions if kind of thing is Dogen Zenji mentions, suppose one gains pride of understanding and inflates one's own enlightenment. So through you can through the by the Zen you can attain awakening and enlightenment, satori. And then you're proud of yourself, okay? And then he says, that's fine, but suppose you gain the pride of understanding and inflate your own enlightenment, glimpsing wisdom that runs through all things, attaining the way and clarifying the mind, raising an aspiration to escalate the very sky. Do you understand? That always happens in the religious world. Obviously, you really go up to the skies, you know, pretty high, you know, and then you completely forget to come down to the earth. But the more you try to stay in the high sky, the impermanence and anyway let you fall down to the earth, and then at that time you hurt so much because you are too high, you know, you are too high to go down, so you hurt so much, just like a helicopter, you know, you fly the helicopters, you know, each person is flying the helicopter, three propellers, you know, calmer and self-centeredness and egoistic and suffering, suffering and karma and also self-centeredness. Three propellers runs pretty fast, and then finally everyone can fly in the sky. And then each person can fly as he likes, you know, because he doesn't bother. He always keep himself in peace, in harmony, keeping away from the people. So he tried to do many things as he likes. That's what everyone does in the sky, in the world, and bumping each other by chance. And then hurts very much, you know. Sometimes one propeller is broken, and there you boom. Go to fall the earth, and then hurt so much. This is a suffering, always we do. That's why Dogen Zenji mentions here. The rising an aspiration to escalate the various skies. One is making the initial partial partial excursions about the frontiers, but is still somewhat deficient in the vital way of total emancipation. So still a little far, little far. So very naturally, the important point is through the practice. Practice must be total manifestation of ultimate nature of existence. And ultimate nature of existence is simultaneously present with your practice. Okay? Because ultimate nature of existence is not your business. It's not something you try to manifest it. No. You have to arrange circumstances, your body and mind to be in peace, in harmony, and then ultimate nature of existence comes out naturally. Like moon comes out from the clouds, like this. Well, for instance, when you do the Zen, the Dogen Zenji mentioned, don't think anything good or bad, right or wrong, you know. And then you try to stop thinking, but the more you try to stop thinking, the more you will start to think. So you can't stop thinking, because thinking is kind of for energies coming from the ultimate nature of existence. So you cannot stop it. So if you want to stop, stop means if you stop, and stop thinking is to manifest that ultimate nature of existence. At that time, thinking appears and next moment disappears. All of a sudden. So appears, disappears, appears, disappears. If you manifest that ultimate nature of existence, very naturally, like that. Okay. I mentioned the other day, just like a washing machine. Washing machine, anyway, machine is always acting, acting constantly. This is our practice. Okay. Flow of activities, flow of practice, acting. Okay. And then we can create dirty clothes and clean waters, and then from next moment the dirty clothes become clean clothes and clean water becomes dirty waters. Okay. So all of this is the dualistic world coming up. So we say dirty clothes, I don't want it, so we want to be free from it. How do we do this? So we try to get the clean waters always, But you can't do it without acting, without actions. That action must be very undefiled and also continuous. Ha. By your arm? No. So you use the soap, Tide. That is a teaching. So teaching and practical guidance in many ways. So we have to use the teaching, and then your actions becomes very pure and defiled. And then you should keep going constantly under all circumstances, and then create dirty clothes and clean waters, dirty clothes, clean waters, all this working together. So that is our practice, okay? And then, in this case, in Bendoa, Dogen Zenji mentioned, Zazen is Jijiyu Samadhi. Okay? Jijiyu Samadhi. Jijiyu Samadhi is exactly same meaning as Sho. Okay? Sho, verification or actualizing the ultimate nature of existence. That is Jijiyu Samadhi. That is in terms of practice. Sho is explained as Jijiyu Samadhi. Self becomes self, and the is the self-feeling, okay? And settle in the self, exactly. That is called, that is a unique way to manifest ultimate nature of existence called soul, okay? A very deep, deep experience of enlightenment. Very deep, profound, before you put the name on it. This is called soul. That is perfect freedom. Perfect freedom. Perfect freedom, which is free from the concept of freedom. Okay? That's why in the Diamond Sutra of its body, it says bodhisattvas are not bodhisattva. Therefore, they are called bodhisattva. Okay? So if the bodhisattva want to be real bodhisattva, they have to be free from the concept of bodhisattvas. And then they can really live in peace and harmony and vividly and helping each other. That is bodhisattva. Diamond Sutra mentions and Prajnaparamita mentions like this. So Dogen's understanding is not Dogen's, his own understanding. It's based on general Buddhist teaching here. Okay. And so I think these many people, they don't understand their practice and realization are not the realization are one, and but this is not Dogen's understanding. This is a Buddhistic understanding. So I think you should keep in mind your practice like this exactly, and from now on you have to research your practice like this, not separate from realization. Otherwise, you never get peace, perfect peace in your life. So, if you don't have the real peace and harmony, you become always critical and toward you, toward others, toward the object, you know. So, always feel uneasy, irritated. So continually you have to train yourself and based on this teaching. Okay. For instance, here is a corn and in the Brooklyn flat cord, and this is a pretty famous you know, story, case 23. Russell faces the wall. main case says attention. Whenever Russell the master saw a monk coming, he would face the wall. Hearing of this, Nansen remarked, "I always tell others to receive directly even before the empty kalpa, and to realize even before the Buddha came into the world. But still I haven't found half a man, let alone a man. If he is thus, he will be stuck in the ear of the donkey." The ear of the donkey. You mean we have a year of 12 animals, you know, in terms of astrology. Oriental people have 12 animals. But unfortunately, donkey doesn't belong to 12 animals. So that's why Nansen says, if Russell is that, teaching always like they're just sitting, and then Nansen says, if he is that, he will be stuck in the ear of the donkey. Means how stupid he is. Completely stupid. Perfect stupid. Something more than wasting time. Then it's apparently, I think, nothing criticizing to the Russell Zen practice, but I don't think so. You know, nothing give a pithy remarks to the monks who believe Russell's teaching is wasting time. Okay. Nansen tried to wake them up, you know, because I always mention, if you say that practice is nonsense, who is nonsense? Zazen doesn't matter, right? Zazen is always Zazen. And then you say, it's nonsense, you are nonsense. Don't you think so? Do you understand that one? For instance, here is winter, Minnesota winters. You say, I hate the winter, you know? Or who is hating? What is the problem? Within the winter? Or within you? Or within heaven? Or within between heaven and you? Who created hatred? Well, winter, whatever you feel, I love winter, or you say, I hate winter. Winter doesn't care, you know. When the time comes, winter comes. Vigorous Minnesota winter comes. You know? So if you hate winter, you already hate. So your whole life is hatred. So wherever you may go, you cannot see that everything with a pleasure or appreciation because your whole body is occupied by hatred. So you always look at the world through the telescope of hatred. This is a problem. So if you say it's nonsense, that is, you are nonsense. That's why nonsense. Anyway, you wake up monk who believe that the Russell's practice is really nonsense, you know, useless. But that's why he says like this, but it is not criticizing, okay? So okay. So, do you have some questions about this? Sure. Okay. So, practice and realization. Otherwise, a little bit difficult for you to understand practice and realization, Satori.
Is there a progression through these? Natural progression?
Progress? You mean the progress?
But do you have to analyze something before? Do you have to know that you know something before?
Huh? You mean? Analyze? You mean understanding?
Yeah, I think I'd have a hard time describing this to you.
Is there progression between these stages, awareness, enlightenment, verification? Is there progression, and are those stages of growth?
So you go through one first, Kaku first, then Satori,
I think so.
Or they always?
Mm-hmm. Awakening. I think awakening used in English textbook in many ways. But generally speaking, awakening is first experience of a spiritual life through the six senses, okay? And then the enlightenment, Satori is a little deeper than awakening. Penetrating. You have to experience the Satori, the awakening through the body and the mind. But awakening is kind of comes through the consciousness. Through the consciousness, then you can awake. So awakening occurs in the conscious level, but Satori occurs in the conscious and also physical level. But it's a little deeper.
Even if there's no, you can, there's show, even if you don't experience kaku or satori, isn't it?
Yeah, kaku and satori.
How important are they? I mean,
kaku and satori?
Yeah.
Very important. But people are, they really try to hold on kaku and satori, which seems to be a best experience, you know? That's what Dogen Denji mentions. That's why people are proud of themselves. They are not. They're proud of their understanding, their own experience. But this is nothing but escalating, you know, the sky, going up to the sky. That's it. So that's why, under the beautiful flag of religions, we are always fighting. If you experience a God, then you're proud of your experience and understanding of God, you know? And then we become real high. That is really a problem for us. Finally fighting. So most important point is you must be liberated from that experience of the prouding of you, of your understanding of God and the Buddha or enlightenment, whatever. And then you really become humble, you know, and also majestic. Very majestic and humble, and then you can help people. Otherwise, you create problem. That's the intention mentioned here. Okay, so I don't mean satori and awakening are not important. It's very, they are very important for us. Okay.
So this first one said the show is somehow always there.
Always there.
It's always present, like satori or awakening is not necessarily always there.
Satori and awakening is a kind of a bubbles coming
yeah,
up,
like
you know.
Experience.
Yes, experience.
But is it possible to realize, what you say, experience so fully if you haven't experienced Satori first?
I don't know which comes first. I think first, basically, you know, show is basically there from the beginning to end, always. And then under the certain circumstances, you can see, you can call it awakening sometimes, you can call it satori sometimes. Sometimes you can't call it at all. That is, anyway, sure. But you can, no name there, but you feel strength, you feel strong out there on the basis of your life. You don't know what it is, but you feel strength.
So you're saying that satori or awakening is not really necessary to you?
Well, it's necessary, but I don't think you should try to hold always, try to get a hold, no. But you shouldn't ignore the satori and awakening. The point is you have to focus on that point, sure. Where we are, because we are there. So where we are, and then we should take care of our life. Okay? But usually we always try to live in the realm of awakening or satori, you know, and then we try to take care of human life. That's what more confused there. But we should focus on very basic. Fund foundations there. And then you can deal with satori's awakening and many things. That's Dogen didn't try to present all this. But this is not Dogen's, this is German Buddhist teaching. Why the Nagarjuna mentions, you know, 18 emptiness, you know. why he has to say, you know, 18 emptiness, 20, 25 emptiness constantly. You know, it's ridiculous. But we have to say, he has to say.
Excuse me, Roshi, could you clarify what the difference is when you're saying this is Buddhist view versus this is Dogen's view?
Well, Dogen's view is more practical point. He gives suggestions how to practice it, how to Buddhist teaching alive in human life, practically. That's always Dogen's intimation. So he has a very deep thought. And his practice is backed by this deep thought. So that's what people say Soto Zen is Dogen's philosophy, scholastic. I don't think he is scholastic. He's pretty religious, genuine person. So he always put it into practice. Okay? And then be free from thought. Because thought, deep thought is always working in his life, as a religious life. So that's where his practice is very deep. But on their end, it's really manifested, so it's just like everyday practice. So very naturally, if you see the such a practice, and the practice and get shown the form of practice, very naturally there is a something profound behind, you know, form of practice. Like a poem, we put the card, treading the mountain path, the violets fills my heart with the indefinable gracefulness. Is that okay? That is a point you want to ask?
Yeah, I think in awakening, then you would say this is show, but if when I say that, I'm separating consciousness from show. So that's what you were just talking about, you're criticizing.
No, not separating.
That's what, yeah, but I do.
Uh-huh. Awakening is not separate from a show, consciousness from the conscious world. Through the conscious world you can experience awakening, but it is not separate from show. So I think it's not, that's why, how can you take care of awakening? This is a point. Alright? Is that clear? If you deal with awakening, so-called it's not separate from, or it is one with it, you already handle awakening as a consciousness. So very naturally, you become high. You are carried away by conceptualizations. But awakening based on a show is something alive, not conceptual, beyond conceptualized. So awakening, because awakening and show once in the working. That is a reality, true reality, we say. We believe in. So how can you take care of one, you know, of awakening and show? So if you see that show, awakening, you shouldn't touch with it. You shouldn't stay with awakening. You must be free from awakening. Means experience the tech, you know. And then all you have to do is just walk on the path of show. That's it. And then next, you attach to the show. You hear it, I can experience show. That's why he says, Dogen Zenji mentions, yes, I mentioned yesterday, you have to be free from original realization too. And then, show real enlightenment penetrates your body and mind. Just like us, mist, walking in the mist. This is a basic practice going, always going.
Um. wouldn't it be correct to say that in a sense, Sho is everything is a manifestation of Sho?
Yes, everything is manifestation of the Sho, that's true.
But then, all the defilements that.
Defilement?
Defilements, they are also in a way a manifestation.
Yes, that's true. In terms of ocean sea samadhi, it's always or whatever defilements and not defilements and flowers and all are right in the middle of ocean sea samadhi. So called Sho. Nirvana, we say.
But then still, it's, well, it's a paradox because like drowsiness and lots of other defilements obscure our experience.
Yeah, but it's not too contradictory. But if you think of it, if you play with that situation with the intellectual world, conceptualization, and then you think it is contradictory, okay? But it's not, because drowsiness or defilement are nothing but the being produced by conditional elements, which are constant to change. Okay, do you understand? So Sho, when the Sho appears under certain circumstances, in other words, produced by a certain conditional elements, then Sho is called defilement. That's why Fui Neng says there are the enlightenment and defilement, the enlightenment and practice, but both are not contaminated by anything, by each other. So always there, but they don't bother. So when you practice, just practice. In other words, you have to really make the practice pure and clean, then it's turned into, you know, Sho. And then if you attach to the Sho with our consciousness, Sho never, no longer Sho. It's defilement. So something like that. That's why defilement, drowsiness, and good or bad are always something produced by conditional element. Okay? Conditional element, yesterday I mentioned many things. We don't know what they are. Okay? Through the this kind of phenomenal world, maybe you can say conditional elements are maybe warmness and human efforts which you don't see but you can feel or touch, something like that. Many conditional elements there. But if you go deep and deep, more deeper and more deeply into, well, ultimate nature of existence, we don't know how many are the conditional elements there, because sometimes that is atom or, you know, quark, you know. We don't know what are they. Many conditional elements there. Do you understand quark? Well, so that is Buddhist mentions about the, you know, conditioned element. Okay, we call Dharma. So everything is produced by Dharma, or integrated Dharma.
What's our problem then, exactly?
Oh, no problem, actually. No problem. Problem is, we are our naked eye and six senses, anyway. And then we have been tamed by, well, the education and habit and etc. And then we always try to have a certain the ideas and we create a certain world, the so-called conceptualizations, you know, through the six senses. So if you see microphone, immediately I say, I says it's microphone.
the microphone should have a certain form, and instead of this is mine or this is yours, lots of you can build up a conceptual world through the language, through the rules fabricated by human beings, you know. So very naturally, if you see the microphone, immediately I consciousness anyway attached to it in many ways. So that is a problem. Attachment is an attachment, or ignoring is also a problem. So that's the problem. But a microphone itself, no problem. Even a nuclear weapon, no problem. The question is, so, but still there is a problem there. So where is the problem? This is a question for us.
It seems like a show is very natural.
Natural?
Seems natural.
Natural, yes, natural.
And normal self-consciousness seems very strange, like seems unnatural almost. You know? Why should there be something separated?
Not separated.
Well, it feels like it though. It seems like it.
Yeah, that is our the habit and the customs we believe in that way. So it's very difficult to see the one. It's not separate. It's exactly one, but according to our habit and the education, it's very difficult to see exactly they are working together. We don't know. We don't see. That's why we practice like this, and then finally we have to taste what is the oneness. What is a not separate, not two? No, it's not correct, you know. So it is one, it's not correct. So that's why the philosophy coming up, you know, in the Buddhism. Why is the truth is not one, not two, you know, something like that. Not separate or not same, something like that. Always kind of a lot of term coming up. In order to let us know what is the real meaning of the oneness. But according to the consciousness, it's pretty hard to know. It's immediately separate.
So is there an awakening or a satori based on show that is the same understanding as self-consciousness? Where self-consciousness...
Pretty close, but the self-consciousness is not involved so much in the awakening and the satori.
Yes, that's my confusion. It's like...
It's there, but it's not. It's not involved in so much. Means if it there means self-consciousness is melted away into, you know, awakening and see enlightenment and what's manifest again. Re-manifest.
But with the insight that comes from when it wasn't manifest, has a thought is different than the usual self-consciousness. It's like I could understand all this is one, okay, not two, not one. I could see that without consciousness, without self-consciousness. Next moment, self-consciousness arises, and it looks like this is different. Now it looks like separated. So even though I understand it's not separated, it feels separated still.
Mm-hmm.
So is it possible? You understand?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Is it possible that you have a clear enough experience that when you return, when self-consciousness returns, it sees the same world?
Same in one world?
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
As show.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Yes?
Yes. It's possible. Yes, exactly.
Do you have it?
Well, that is. That is not concept, that is not conceptual world, that is not the ideas. It is activity only. Arising only, always something you have to do. Right in the middle of flow of activity, there is oneness. There is a soul manifested as a one with your self-consciousness. So consciousness is no longer consciousness. Self-consciousness is something more than a self-consciousness. Universal. So that's why the book of book and the beyond the boredom and anxiety that he mentions about between chess players and musicians, etc. So they use the self-consciousness in the beginning and in the beginning, in the end, but in the end self-consciousness doesn't bother him or her. Self-consciousness just be present with her or him. And then all he can do is between some energies, we don't know what it is, and some energies between the chest and him or her, anyway, let him do continually. So that is kind of an experience of a show. But in a spiritual speaking, in terms of spirituality, I think the flow of activity must be based on deep and profound understanding, profound taste of what ultimate nature of existence is, based on impermanence itself. It's a very deep awakening. Not only the understanding that flow of activity according to the data of individual, many people's experience, okay? And then we say, here it is, this is important problem, like human life, okay? But that is scientific. That's why naturally you have to explain the scientific.
If there is such a thing as the self-consciousness in the state of just arising, so it's identical with the deep vision in Sho, then it seems like self-consciousness is automatically practiced in every moment.
Mm-hmm.
So why then engage in formal practice?
So that's why the point is you have self consciousness. We don't know what the self consciousness actually. You cannot pick it up. What the self consciousness? What is the self consciousness? The day by day, from moment to moment, we use so much self-consciousness, but we don't know where it is and how it works. But through the experience, through the everyday life, we feel something, and then we put the name on it, so-called self-consciousness. Now finally we put the certain preconceptions, so-called self-consciousness, but still it's vague, very vague. So I think we should know the self-consciousness, the total picture of the self-consciousness. Self-consciousness is always focusing on self, okay? That's fine. But on the other hand, how self-consciousness is produced? By who? By what? By you? Yes, that is a part of reason. But not. But even though you don't want to create self-consciousness, when the time is arranged, the conditions of life, and then self-consciousness coming up, For instance, I mentioned the gentleman in the battlefield. Interacting, he didn't want to kill anybody because he put a gun on the ground and he hid himself. And then the enemy is coming close, and then But still he is talking to himself, I don't want to kill. Then he comes nearer and nearer and nearer and nearer. Then his hands move to the gun. So this kind of things, you know, always there. So and even though you think, I don't want to protect myself, I want to be open, but it's still self-conscious is working. By what? By you? No. By circumstances. So we don't know who created. So basically, basic nature of self-consciousness is nothing. Okay? Because there is no particular person, no particular object by what self-consciousness has been produced. We don't know. So finally, what is the nature of self-consciousness? That is no root. So no root means a completely simple practice, simple activities. So if you see the self-consciousness, well, see it and let it be calm means let it deal with, simple as you can. That's all we can do. So for sitting zazen and then self-consciousness coming up means critical toward zazen and toward me and toward others and feeling good and many feelings coming up. But that is nothing but self-consciousness. So I think all we have to do is to come back to simplicity. And then self-consciousness and be quiet and naturally by itself. But next moment we say, by itself? This is already self-consciousness coming up. So on and on like this. Okay, any other?
Yes. What part does effort play in these three stages?
First, the main effort is focusing on the third show. Again, show means that the practice and realization one, anyway. You have to focus on that one. Then, naturally, you can experience awakening in that way.
Okay. What constitutes focusing?
Focusing means how can you deal with practice if you direct yourself to the practice? How can you deal with the practice from day to day, from moment to moment? How? It's not a concept. You cannot deal with the practice by conceptualizations. Or you have to do it. Okay? So how? That is, since your heart, we say, anyway, because basic nature, ultimate nature of existence is working with undefilement, undefilement. Very pure, very clear, and very fast. Fast means very, super fast. So very naturally, we have to deal with this practice as simple as we can with sincere heart. Okay? That's real, but it seems to be easy, but it's not so easy because we have had completely different customs, habits, and in the juristic world. So that's why quite different way of practice and understanding.
But you would say that they all arise naturally?
Yeah, it's natural.
But
if they
arise.
Yes. If your practice is ready, ready means if your practice is handled, coped with, exactly unfold, okay? Then disappear. Then, not then, simultaneous death.
So you make effort in the practice. You can't make effort in show. Practice is show.
Mm-hmm.
I'm just trying to figure out it's always confusing to me in Soto Zen where what effort looks like, you know, how you do it.
Well, you adapt yourself to the practice, don't you? That is very common. It's not confusion. So using your body and your consciousness anyway, and the physical body and the physical and the psychological situation, and then you do what? Practice, we say. Practice means for using the form and certain form, and then jump they put your body and mind in it. That is our practice. Like putting your body and mind in a bathtub.
Well, maybe the reason I want to find out about whatever it is because it seems possible to put my body in practice.
Yeah, that's what question is. Question is, how do you put your body into the bathtub, okay? You need an effort. But an effort appears in many ways, you know? Even though you write down and then you put the right half legs and put in the bathtub, this is also effort, you know? But you cannot exactly put your whole body. Many kinds of effort there. So, important point, what kind of form you need in order to put your whole body and mind in the bathtub in peace and harmony, in order to commit total communion between you and bathtub and all sentient beings. How? What kind of effort? It means what kind of form is necessary for us? Natural form is important. Is that clear? For instance, if I want to read this one, okay? Well, this is not usual, you know, a comic book. This is a Buddhist teaching there. So very natural psychological respect there toward this one. So if you want to read this one, how can you read to this sutra book? Many kind of effort there. You know, how can you manifest your effort? The effort is manifested in a certain form, otherwise it doesn't make sense. Do you understand? So form is there, what kind of form? Many forms. So someone says, write down on the floor and read it. This is also reading. Someone always facing the Buddhas and they make your mind calm and they read. This is also reading. So what is the best form of reading? In order to manifest best effort, you want to manifest. Okay, what is the best effort? You know? In order to manifest best effort, I think we should have a best form as best as we can. Okay, otherwise you cannot have peaceful, total communion between this reading, this sutra book, and also spirit of the Buddha's teaching, and also your physical and mental and your spiritual spiritual life, you know? Is that clear?
Yeah, I know what you're saying. I think the key point for me is having a psychological respect, you know?
Mm-hmm.
How do I get my mind involved in the practice? And I find it's really hard to respect something that I don't understand.
Well, that's why effort is the same thing. How can you manifest the effort? We don't know, without form. So if you have a certain form, you know how to manifest the effort in the best way. So according to the form, I think the effort is manifested in a different way. All right. Is that clear?
It's manifested in a different.
And the second, yes. It means that they, I mentioned already, somebody say, I write down on the floor and you sit down straightly and hold this book, sutra book and read it. Quite different effort. Yeah. Effort is manifested in a different circumstances, alright? So, how can you manifest psychological respect? So very naturally, you should figure out the best form in order to manifest the psychological respect. How? Is it the best way of writing down, where you write down on the floor and read it, and eating something and then read it, and Buddhist scriptures? So it's not wrong, but a little bit questionable. If you want to manifest psychological respect toward this one, do you understand? For instance, if you see that the King and the Elizabeth, King Elizabeth, in the, you know, in England, you can manifest many kind of effort: shaking hands, frankly, using a forearm, in many ways. But what is the best way, you know, to exchange a greeting with her? Now, with psychological respect, you know? And also, problem is, and that kind of thing, so the usual everyday life, there are many kinds of a different form in a different country. Okay? But a spiritual life, I think the different form in the different religions, but basic spirit is same. So, what kind of things is best, we have to find it. And then you can see spiritual respect or psychological respect. Is that clear?
Is that the same as faith, you believe?
I think so. Even the idea in the, your consciousness says, I believe, but if you don't do anything, you know, it doesn't make sense. So faith and the belief is your activities. It must be based on activity, religious activity, okay? Religious participation. Otherwise, you know, faith and belief doesn't make sense. It's not wrong, it's a part of the truth, but it is still the conceptualization.